The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage, because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their rural communities to make this country and to make our agricultural community stronger. Mm-hmm. Today's special guest is a wonderful individual that I've had the great pleasure of connecting with over social media. I feel like I know her because she's somewhat of a YouTube sensation. Oh. And so we get to hear her voice all the time on her channel, This Farm Wife. But Meredith Bernard, this is the first time we get to like connect.
I know.
We're doing it while recording. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much
for your time today.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome. I was like, yes, I would love to do that.
Well, one of the things I've always admired about you, Meredith, is your ability to tell agricultural story in a way that's like real and authentic. You show up all the time and you just tell what life is like on a farm. And so I guess just to kick things off before we get into the real nuts and bolts of the show is just tell us a little bit about you, your family, and how you got started sharing your story.
Sure. Thank you. So I live on a beef cattle operation with my husband, Lawrence, and our two children, Austin and Wesley. They're 13 and 16. And we are right on we're in North Carolina, but we're right on the central North Carolina, Virginia line. So I can throw a stone into Virginia. In fact, most of what I do is in Virginia, like as far as life stuff, because it's the closest town. So we're in a beautiful geography, rolling hills, lots of trees, which I know it's probably different from where you're at. A lot of people that come here from out west feel claustrophobic, but I love going out there where it's so wide open, but I think I'd miss my trees. A lot of green. Right. In fact, I'm looking out the window right now. It's still a lot of green, or leaves are just barely starting to turn and starting to fall. So we have beef cows that we sell. So we sell, you know, we have cow-calf operation. And then we do some freezer beef just once a year kind of thing, not like a retail type thing where people come and go all the time, but it's we kill those in March and we have a good solid customer base for that. And then we raise a little bit of beans. That's really our only cash crop. And then we do some corn, but we would use that for cattle feed. And we've been doing some barley or some other type of grain. I think last night he told me we were going to try some Milo this time. I was like, okay, we're always trying different things. And then we raise hay, but only for ourselves. So we do a lot of round bales and some square bales we started doing because we have probably too many horses at this point. So I don't know if I've lost count, 7 or 8. And we really started needing square bales for them over winter and for traveling and stuff. We live on a river, the Dan River. So we have a lot of river bottom. So we tend river bottom, which can be a blessing and a curse. I mean, when it's good, it's good. The ground is really fertile, but then you have to worry about the river getting out. And we just faced that and came through. Thank God we came through okay with the big storm that came through, but I can get wordy about this. But so how did I get here and doing what I'm doing? So for 10 years, I was in feed sales. So I was a livestock feed salesperson. Okay. I went to school for animal science, loved it. Then got out and was like, what am I going to do with this degree? I didn't know what I was going to do. Because in our state, poultry and swine are very large. So a lot of the jobs in the animal science were geared towards like going to work in a poultry or swine operation. And I knew that was not what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, and that was in the eastern part of the state, a lot of those. So I ended up going into sales, which for me was very odd because I'm not like a pushy, you know, that stereotypical sales type person or what I thought, you know, I just had that car salesman kind of like, I can't do that. But it ended up being a really awesome career while it lasted and I loved it. And I say it was great until it just wasn't great. And it was after we had two small children and really it was about time for my son to start school. And I started having concerns about where he was going to go. And I wasn't seeing options that really fit what I wanted. Yeah, you understand. I really, really felt like God was calling me home, which was really scary because I was honestly the breadwinner for the family. My husband farms and that we have no hired help. I say, you know, I'm the hired help and I'm free. That's kind of how that works around here. So farming it's hard. A lot of your listeners I know are on farms. So you understand it's hard.
Labor too. So I can relate to that.
Yes. So I say, you know, and I had all the benefits and all the things. So, but the only person support I needed was my husband. And that was probably the only person really I had to support of, but that's all I needed. He's like, you're just going to have to change your wants to needs, you know,
right.
And we can make this work. And that's what I did. And we have made it work. And it's, you know, there's been some really lean times. I feel like we've gone up and down and we're kind of in a really lean time again here. But that's, I know we all are in this economy that we're in right now, but it's been a blessing. So when I quit, I started a photography business because the farm just lends itself well to photography. And I just found a passion there that I didn't even know I had. And I really built that into something great for several years. And then I started writing. I started a blog. And that was something I'd never done, never even like had any idea that that was something I'd want to do, but found that I really had, I don't know if a gift is a word or not, but I was able to, or, you know, put things in words. And I was at a place in my life where I had, you know, I was a young mother and I had quit a job and I was on the farm. So I didn't grow up on a farm. So the whole farm thing was totally new to me. So everything I was doing, I was learning from scratch, learning how to drive the tractor, learning how to rake hay, learning how to do, you know, deal with cattle and all that stuff. The only experience I had was my 4 years in college and, you know, a few animal science classes. When it came to the animals, that just kind of snowballed from one thing to the other. It was the blog and you sharing on Facebook at that time, and Instagram wasn't really. And I'm also a late adopter to like all the things. I was probably the last one to join Facebook. And then I was the last one to do Instagram. And then it sounds weird, but at the time, one thing that actually helped me grow a lot was Twitter. I was on what, you know, ag Twitter. I'm not anymore. I'm over the Twitter phase, but I know I don't even call it that anymore. But that was where I made a lot of connections and got connections to be on Farm Her. So I was on one of the first seasons of that show, and that helped get me some exposure. And it was really after that, and after I attended a Farm Her, their first conference out in Des Moines, first time I'd ever been, only time I've been to Iowa, I came home and it was like really a fire in me to like do something different. I felt like there was something more, but I wasn't 100% sure what it was. And I had dabbled around with YouTube a little bit, but I wasn't as comfortable with that. I was much more comfortable writing my thoughts and getting things out that where everything could be edited and I could, it wasn't just like flying off the cuff, and I never felt like I was good at that. So, but I started just, and at the time there was really hardly any farming channels and definitely not many women doing it. I just started doing it. And when I really started to get consistent is when it started growing. And I look back at my first episodes or whatever you want to call it, videos, and it's kind of painful to watch, but it is good sometimes to look back and see how far you've grown.
Yeah.
I've changed, get more comfortable. And I do everything easy. I just use my phone and it's just feels like I'm talking to myself, even though if I really understood how many people were probably watching, it would make it a lot more uncomfortable, but
Do you get this way? If people like, I'll go travel somewhere to speak. And for some reason, I feel like no one listens to this, even though I can see the analytics. But then when people in real life say, oh, I listen to your show. And I'm like, it like takes me off guard.
Feel the exact same way. We go somewhere and somebody, I remember we went to the farm show in our state 2 years ago, and my husband with me, and he never leaves a farm. I mean, he goes to the farm store or the tractor store, and that's it, right?
Yep.
All day, like, all these people stopped us. They're like, oh my gosh, we watch out. And he's like, what? What is that? I was like, yeah, they're like real people. Like, they're real people out there that actually watch it. And it's a very weird thing. It is.
I never quite know. It's like, thank you. Like, I don't know how to respond, you know?
I don't either. And it's like, oh, well, I just like, thank you for your support. Thank you. Yep. You know, I mean, it's really cool.
It's
really cool to know that people do watch and care and are learning, you know, that we're doing good. We're doing our best to get our message out there. You do such an amazing job of that with everything you do.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus. With its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract, BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
So your channel's This Farm Wife. And if you guys watched, it's amazing. She's so relatable. And then she's got a full range of products that you can buy that are just like perfect for it. They're so cute. But have you found it to be like therapeutic to share the different seasons of your life, or like as you look back on things, is it fun to document?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I also, like, part of me, from a selfish kind of way, I look at this as like a video diary of our life. So I have this vision that 20, 30 years when I'm sitting here by myself, or, well, hopefully not by myself, but you know, like being able to like go back and relive my kids' childhood, and cause they've literally grown up on there. I mean, people that have been around from the beginning, I mean, they were like babies. They were like, Austin was a toddler and now she's 13. And so, yeah, for sure. Like that aspect of it is really cool.
Well, I commend you for it, because it was last year or the year before, I had gotten this like TV deal. Like, we were going to have a weekly episode of the farm, you know, faith, freedom, farming, all the things.
Yeah.
We shot like 4 episodes, and I was like, I cannot keep up with this, because I feel like we get outside working and it's like, we're just in such a hurry to get everything done that I'm like, by the time I would move the camera around and do all the things, hard for me. So I think it's amazing you can do this, because I had to pull the plug. That's honestly why I started podcasting, because I'm like, well, I can record like this.
Control that. Yeah. I feel like I'm a lot different than a lot of other YouTubers, because I don't use all the fancy equipment. Like if I had to, and I've bought some of it, and it's literally sat in the box.
Yeah.
So like, you know, thankfully these phones these days are just, I mean, you know, they're really awesome. And that's really my only overhead. So I literally do everything on my phone.
That's probably what broke me, because the fancy TV station was like, here's all the gadgets. And I'm like, I'm not a gadget person.
I wouldn't be able to do it either. You can't just, I mean, this is in my back pocket. So like you say, when something's happening or going down, I can throw it out. And it was just last year that I finally realized that I could get this like magnetic thing to put on the back. So that has come in so handy. I'm like, why did I not do that years ago? So I can stick it up on a gate or the tractor or truck or whatever and get like a different view. Cause I'm always just like,
yep, I know. Yeah. Right.
Go gadget arm. It's never long.
That's awesome. The things you learn through the process of
life. Trial by fire.
Well, tell me a little bit. In recent months, you've switched to sharing more about your faith. How at Evolution come about?
It started that way on my blog. Like when I started blogging, it was all faith-based. And that's how I got into writing. And like I was in all these little faith circle, like faith blog circles. And we went around and did all the blog share. I don't know if you remember how that used to go with blogs.
Yep. Like, yep.
And then I kind of transitioned more to just like the farming. And of course, I would throw in stuff here and there. But I think it's also just been my personal spiritual journey. You know, it's ebbed and flowed. And thank God he's drawn me back closer to him. And I feel like my faith is stronger now than it has ever been. And I'm closer to him than I've ever been. And he's opening doors for me to be able to share more. And I'm more comfortable sharing, I feel like, you know. So, and like I was telling you before we even started recording, and I have definitely found that it seems like lately, the more I share my faith, the more followers are loose. But that's like, I'm just at a point where I just don't care. I think a lot of that's my age too. I'm almost 46 and I'm just reaching that point where I know what's important and I don't care about that anymore. I figure he's going to put me in front of the people he wants me in front of. And I still have a decent sized following and I want to use what I really believe he's given me. He's allowed this platform to expand and grow. And I want to use it for his good and his glory. Cause that's really the only thing that matters. I mean,
I'm at that stage in my life too, where it's like, I had people maybe 5 years ago say, Amanda, you're sharing your faith too much. No one's going to invite you to speak, you know, it's hurt you. And like you said, you do lose followers. Seems like the algorithm buries you.
They do not like Jesus.
Yeah, they do not like Jesus. But I'm like, you know, I think it's important to pay the cost. Like what is the cost of following Jesus? If that's the cost, well, it's pretty minimal, but it's amazing how the Lord, at least I've felt like has reaffirmed me along the way and like put the right people in my life, maybe taken people out of my life that shouldn't be there.
Sure.
And I'm speaking more than ever too. So it's like,
he's providing.
Yes. He's providing. He's like, being able to share the faith component too on the road. It's so like, those are my favorite ones where it's just like, people really get to see your heart then and your soul.
Yes.
It just the superficial, not that agriculture is superficial, obviously, but it's a part of me. It's not who I am though.
Right. And that's what's got, like there's not a separation.
Right.
Anymore. Right. And I feel like I kind of did that for a while and I was like, that's dumb. That's so dumb. Cause you know, that's who I am. Like it's a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. It's who I am. That's my identity. My identity's in Christ.
Right.
So I can't like, why would I not show that or talk about that? And then, like you say, I've definitely found the same thing. He's definitely brought people into my life that like my best friend, Jen, and we have a podcast now, I See You God podcast. So it's all faith-based, 100% faith-based.
Yes.
And like, that's just been one of the biggest blessings in my life. And he's definitely taken other people that I was spending too much time online being influenced by, I feel like probably that. So thank God.
Yes. So tell us about the podcast. What's it called? Where can
we So it's called I See You God. So we've had two seasons. We treat this very, it's been very kind of fly by the seat of our pants.
I get it.
It was like, we came up, we were constantly having these faith-based conversations ourselves. Cause she's one of two people that I'm on. I don't know if you're familiar with Marco Polo, that app.
Oh, yep. Yep.
Okay. So I never heard of it, but when I started talking to her, she's like, I use this app to talk to some, I was like, okay. So we started, you know, we every day now, several times a day, that's how we communicate back and forth. And so we were having these conversations and then I had like for a long time, I had thought, you know, I definitely don't want to do the podcast thing. Everybody's got a podcast, whatever. Yep. And, I mean, and like, I just never had a heart for it. And then after we started talking for a while, I started to feel like, I don't know, maybe a podcast would be fun. Maybe that would be something. And then I didn't say anything. And then she mentioned it one day. I was like, okay, well, actually, I've been having the same idea. So she's like, we're already having these conversations. You know, it might be something that we could just throw out there and other people could relate to. And like, we went into this with no, what's the word I'm looking for? Like expectations. Like we're not treating this as a business or anything. Like it was just like, well, let's just record 12. Like we did them all like through the summer and then we'll just put them out in the fall and we'll see if what kind of response we get. If people like it and they want more, then maybe we'll do some more. So we did the first 12, and then over the winter we took a break, and we took a longer break than we anticipated. And we I don't even know what our numbers are. I really don't. But we get messages from people saying, are you coming back? We really enjoyed that. It was like just sitting down with two friends, having coffee and just talking about the Bible and scripture. And so we did 12 more. And then now we've come back. We've just done three in a row, and we're trying to do this now. We're just doing it live. We're doing it live on YouTube. And then, so it's up there, and then we got to get it out on the platforms. But that's been fun, actually, because we never rehearsed anything. We would just, we actually based it to begin with off this little Elizabeth Elliot quote book.
Oh, I love
familiar
it.
Familiar with Elizabeth Elliot. That's literally what we started out. We're like, we're just going to go through one of her quotes and the scripture, and then just use that like as our little springboard for something to talk about. And so these last three, we've gone a couple different directions. Like the first one we actually did totally different. We talked about like supplements and health, because we had promised everybody the last season that we would do like a fun one like that, and we didn't do it. So that was totally different. Like, don't worry, we're not gonna do this a lot, but a lot of y'all wanted to know, so we'll just talk about our health journey. And then the second one, we went back to that, and then this past week we did one about the hurricane. But it's been fun, and it's been, you know, who knows, we are gaining some traction with that. So her son, Jen's son, does the editing and uploads it for us and stuff, and he's like, you need to push this. Like, your numbers are doing good. Like, we're just like, okay, well, I mean, we put it out there. We say, we've got it. Right. It's like, y'all are so close to being able to be monetized. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Well, maybe we'll what see about that. Okay.
Right.
But it's been just more of a fun thing and a way for us to, I mean, having these conversations with her is always fruitful for me. And so, you know, if it helps one person out there draw closer to God, and that whole I see you, God, that's something that she would always say. And I was like, when we were trying to think of a name, I was like, Jen, we have to just call it I See You, God podcast, because it's just like this constant reminder that he's always around us, he's everywhere. And if we just take the time to just look, like, we're gonna see him. You're gonna see him working, you're gonna see him, or you're just, you know, in nature. We both love to be outside and walk, and we do a lot of that. We do a lot of talking back and forth when we're taking our walks. But yeah, so that's the gist of that.
I love it. I'm so grateful that you two are doing that, and I've enjoyed the episodes myself.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtuff.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tuff equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it.
You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt, exactly as nature made it. It contains 60 plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKE to save, or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
So you mentioned the hurricane, and so I'm in South Dakota, far away from any type of hurricane.
No.
For sure. I was in West Virginia a couple weeks ago and the weather was wild. You know, we were kind of up in the, just where it was raining and windy and crazy, but thankfully I got home and was able to fly home with no delay. But now we're starting to hear the reports and I feel like I'm getting a lot more information from people who actually live in the communities that have been impacted, that are sharing their stories on social media, than anything that's really being reported on the mainstream news. But we're talking about a 100-year flood. And
I've heard 1,000.
Really?
Like, okay. Like biblical. It's biblical. Like it's it's almost apocalyptic. I mean, I'm not just saying that. It's,
so tell us what you know. Like, what is it really like?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm not expert on this. I'm just like, I live here. So my heart's here with my people and I will cry. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So Hurricane Helene came up. It's been, so we're, is this day 7? What's today? Yeah. Okay. It's been a week. When she hit Florida and came up, and of course, I mean, the whole path was there was destruction the whole way up, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina. And then I'm in North Carolina, Virginia, parts of Virginia and parts of Tennessee, East Tennessee. She came up through the western part of our state. And if you were in West Virginia, it would be very similar. So it's very mountainous and lots of hills and gullies, you know, we call them hollers, they call them valleys, creeks and streams and rivers. I mean, everything around there is named for a creek or a stream or a river or whatever. And a lot of these places, a lot of these people that live in the mountains, like they're already in, a lot of the places are already hard to reach, like on a good day, like just windy one lane roads, you know, dirt roads, gravel roads. So what happened was they had already had, like there had been a system that had come through and already dropped like an immense amount of rain. I don't remember, 12 or 15 inches, which itself was horrible, like before the storm. And then the storm came through and areas of the mountains got 30 plus inches of rain. So what happened was it just caused torrential mudslides, literal like entire towns were wiped away, washed away. There's no telling actually how many people's lives have been lost. The count this morning is like 196, but it could be, I've seen numbers 600 to up in the thousands. Like we don't know. And there's going to be so many that even won't even be accounted for because they're under mud or, I mean, there's reports of just bodies and babies and just floating. They're just in the river. And so as of right now, I know this is going to air later, but as of right now, it's still somewhat active recovery, but we're going into that part where it's going to be more just, what do they call that when it's not just recovery, but it's, the words aren't even coming to me. Yeah. It's going to be
like, instead of a rescue effort, it's
rescue from rescue to recovery, because people that have been stranded now for this long without food or water, you know, they can only make it so long. And that's the problem, is being able to get to the people, because the roads are, I mean, literally the photos are just horrendous. I mean, roads just split apart, stories that are starting to come out. Cause then, you know, there's no power. I mean, I read yesterday, I think it was like 6,500 miles of power lines that are gone. Yeah. Like you can't really wrap your head around it. And even just looking at the pictures, I think it's hard to full, you know, seeing in a person would be totally different. So the communication is the biggest thing, not having power, not having cell service. And then even if they're getting cell service back, that if their phones are dead, like they can't get out. There's been a huge effort from helicopters and private helicopter operators in the area, like just scanning for people. And I saw yesterday somebody, you know, they found some that had a mirror and they were down there and they saw them that way and they found them, were able to rescue them. So it's bad. It's really bad. And like I was saying before this, you were saying, you know, well, this might come out a couple of weeks from now. And that's fine. I was like, this is going to be such a, awareness is the biggest thing right now for me, is just trying to make people aware that this happened and that this is going to be an ongoing need. Like, and that's one of my biggest worries right now, is that next week when this is not top of mind and news for, of course it is for us right now, because I'm right here in the state. So it's like all anyone around here is talking about or thinking about, but the recovery efforts are going to be, the relief efforts are going to be needed for years, honestly. And some of these places will never recover. And that's what's so sad, because you think a lot of these people, their livelihoods, well, their livelihoods are gone. And a lot of this area, it was such a beautiful part of the world. And a lot of these people relied on tourism. So if you think about their jobs, you know, they've lost everything. And the landscape is completely changed. And it's going to be just, it seems like impossible to kind of really rebuild some of these places.
Yeah.
And so they're displaced. And where are they going to go? What are they going to do? And then you hear reports about like the federal government really not being as helpful as it should be. And it's really the heroes here are the civilians that have stepped up and that are organizing drives and driving stuff there and taking their chainsaws and taking their ATVs and taking their equipment and their helicopters and organizing supply drives and trucking stuff there wherever they can get it and then getting it dispersed as much as they possibly can. Like that part has been amazing. Like it's in some ways, obviously it brings out the best in humanity. And then some, you know, unfortunately you see, you've got a bunch of desperate people.
Yeah.
That are hungry and they're tired and they're without shelter and they're without fuel. And there's like been some reports of people fighting and even, you know, shootings and looting and all that kind of stuff. Cause it's like a war zone. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah.
What I've seen is like, it literally just looks like a war zone.
Desperate people that have missed a meal or two, like people will do almost anything at that
That's
point
right.
for families. And it's
exactly.
Always said that just in general in a lot of my speeches. It's like in some of these mm-hmm. urban cities, they only have 2 to 3 days worth of food or supplies right. in their apartments or their homes. And mm-hmm. you know, the trucks stop running or the ports stop getting unloaded.
Yeah.
Like we're really
it's another problem.
Getting close to it's like we're really not that far away, just days away from the
energy. Really. Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's another thing. It's like literally the perfect storm right now with all this port stuff happening.
Yeah.
So like around here, I'm going today. So I've been doing a drive online. I've been collecting money and it's been absolutely, I'm just floored. I'm up to like $27,000 or $28,000.
Wow.
Never dreamed, never so thankful. So I'm heading out this afternoon with some friends from my county. This was my county farm bureau. I serve on the board and the women's committee. And so we put together this drive and, you know, we thought, well, we'll just collect what we can. And then when I was like, well, I'll just put my Venmo out there because I do have this larger audience that I know yep. will want to help.
Yep.
I had no idea that they would come through so strong. So we're going today to start shopping. But another worry right now is the fact that like around here, the stores, the big box stores, Sam's and stuff have been like wiped out. It's like another toilet paper gate. Like everything's gone. I'm just really praying today that I know God is, he's allowed me to have this platform. He's allowed these people to give. So I know he's going to provide. He's going to provide. I don't know how many places I'm going to have to go. We're going to have to try to fill up this cattle trailer to be able to take supplies next week. But that's the goal.
Wow. So. And so then you'll just start delivering it to families or how's that going to work?
Yeah, we have a contact with a sheriff and that's west of Asheville. Asheville area was like the hardest hit. He has a warehouse and he's going to use people and personnel he has to make sure it gets to the right people. We're basically just collecting and getting it there and then going to let them do what they need to do because we're not really equipped to do all that. We wouldn't know where to go or how to get there or whatever. So
sure.
we're just kind of, we're passing it off, but we're passing it off to someone that we trust and we know is going to get it into the right hands. Because that's another thing. Several, you know, there's some of these larger organizations. It's hard to know for sure where your money's going and how it's being
yep.
used. So I don't take lightly at all the money that people are sending me. I feel good knowing that we're going to have actual tangible goods. We got a tractor trailer load of water we're taking. And then in addition to the supplies that we're going to go around and get everything we can find, diapers and wipes and formula, like all the things that, you know, I woke up the other morning just bawling, started thinking about like babies and just the things we take for granted. We just take so much for granted. And in a situation like this, not having just basic necessities just to survive. So
I'll have the link if folks want to donate in the show notes so that folks okay. can listening to this. I mean, the need is going to, like you said, it's going to be here for some time.
And yeah. So- and I created a t-shirt too, where all the proceeds are going to go to help. So after I do this drive, that'll probably be where I'll push things. I mean, I can still accept money and I'll make sure it goes, whether we do another drive and take stuff, which hey, if it keeps coming, that's just what we'll do. We'll just yep. make another trip or I know a couple organizations that I know the money's going the right place. So sure. That's where I'm going to put the proceeds for my hurricane relief t-shirt towards, which is at my shop.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So how's the agricultural community doing? I mean, what is it, the impact on crops, livestock, family farms?
Yeah, I know it's bad. I don't know the extent of it yet, but of course we are at a time where it was like, we're right on the cusp of harvest corn and beans. So, and in the mountains, our mountains have a very big Christmas tree. They do a lot of Christmas trees and fruits. So yeah, farms have been completely wiped away and livestock. There's been so much footage, you know, of floating animals. It's terrible. So there are a lot of people and organizations and like farm stores I know around here too that are collecting those types of items and hay is going to be a problem. We're getting ready to go into winter. And so the animals that are left, you know, now they've lost their hay and everything. So there's a lot of those drives happening as well. And that's awesome. You know, the ag community, they're so close and they're going to be so good at supporting. And we've already seen that. I was talking to a friend for the company that I used to work for. And she was saying how at the store, they're using their tractor trailers to take items over there for producers and growers. And she said, farmers are calling it when they place their order, they're putting like extra pallets. They're saying, you know, here's another $1,000, put a pallet of this on your truck going west. And I love that so much.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, with just a minute left of the show, mm-hmm. what would your parting words be? I mean, the rest of the country is listening to this. What's fundamentally something important they need to know moving forward here?
My biggest plea would be just to be aware. And if you have the means and the ability to support in any way, and that includes prayers, like prayers are not futile or worthless and they're free. And I mean, I'm saying that very seriously. I think a lot of times we think, you know, well, I can't give it. Cause I that's what's just floored me is how giving people have been in this is the economy that we're in right now. Like it is sacrificial to give anything right now for most anybody. The thing is that we're the biggest thing for me. And this has always been my thing is that we're better together. And, you know, while I can't do everything and you can't do everything together, we can do so much, so much. $5. It doesn't matter. Whatever you can do helps. And I believe just like the loaves and the fishes, God will multiply it. And he has.
That's
I think
right.
He will continue
he will.
To.
He will. And we've got to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
That's
here.
Right.
And so thank you so much for your heart, Meredith.
Thank you, Amanda.
For all you do and how you're using your platform for good. So I hope the next time I have you on the show, we get to talk about something more.
Something more fun.
Yes. But thank you so much. I'll provide all the links in the show notes. And truly, I hope we get to meet on the dusty trail.
Me too. I would love to hug your neck.
Yes. God bless you.
You too. Thank you all.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the heart of rural America.